Well, let's talk about Vanishing Borders. Where did the idea come from for this documentary?
I'm an immigrant. I came to the United States from Venezuela in 1995, and I was 16 years old. And during my time here, which has been an amazing, fantastic experience that I've really enjoyed, I've been missing seeing representations of immigrant women that are close to my own experience. And I felt like if we had a film or TV shows or books that looked at immigration in a more humanized way and that gave people the time and the space to tell the stories they need to tell of why they came here, the immigration debate in this country would be fairer, perhaps richer space than it is right now. So I decided to make the film in order to tell those stories that I thought were not being heard in the debate as it stood.
And this documentary features a look into the lives of four immigrant women living in New York City and their work in their communities?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about each of these women and how you came to be introduced to them.
The women are Tebohom Moja, who is from South Africa, and she is a professor at New York University, and Yatna Vakaria, who is from India, and she is a mother of two, and she's also studying at Columbia University. And there's Melanie Rogers, who's from Australia, and she owns her own practice in nutrition. And then there's Daphne Sicre, who was born in Ecuador to Peruvian and Spanish parents, but grew up in Spain. And she is a PhD student in educational theater. I came to know these women. Some of them I knew from before. I had lived in New York City after I graduated from college, and I had worked at NYU. So I had worked with Melanie, and I also had heard of Teboho, and I thought she was the most amazing person. So I was like, wow, if I ever make a movie, she's got to be in it. And then for Daphne and Yatna, I sent out a million emails and made a million phone calls and eventually went to New York City in 2010 and sort of auditioned a lot of women who were interested in being in the film, and they were two that I selected.
In speaking with filmmakers in the past, I've found that their initial projects maybe didn't end up quite the way that they intended, or they learned something completely new. Were there any surprises for you along the way?
When I started this, I had done a film on breast implants in Venezuela, where I'm from, which Venezuelans are very fond of breast implants. So I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this camera, and I'm going to go to Venezuela, and I'm going to film this thing. And that was a short film. It was only 25 minutes, and I did it on my own. And that was a pretty easy process, even though it was my first film. So when I made Vanishing Borders, I worked with a crew for the first time in my life. And handling a crew and handling New York City, which is a character on its own, was challenging and exciting and very surprising in terms of the kinds of thinking and interacting that one had to do to make a project of this magnitude work. So whereas a 25-minute film where it's just you behind the camera feels pretty manageable, this larger piece was a whole other adventure. I'm actually working on a video book. It's a book, but it's got images as I narrate it, and it's dealing with the experience of being on set, trying to create something and trying to give everybody the kind of environment that they would be happy with. So instead of having a very hierarchical crew, I tried to have a pretty egalitarian crew. Feminist filmmaking is how I call it, and I tried to make the women feel like they own the stories that we were telling. So that's, I think, the most surprising thing that I learned through this film. It's not necessarily the film itself, but the process that went into making it.
Who inspires you as far as film?
So Agnès Varda is a French filmmaker. She's been making films since the 60s, but in her later years, she has turned toward documentary work, and she's my my hero. I actually have an online community of women filmmakers called Agnes Films, which in honor of Agnes Varda. And it's definitely, you know, her work is visually enticing, but she's always looking to tell stories that help the people whose stories are being told, and she's very respectful of the people she represents, but it's still exciting and visually fantastic to engage in. Sarah Polley as well, she does fiction films, but she also did a documentary called Stories We Tell, in which she went to make sense of her own family history. And like Varda, has a very keen sense of aesthetics, but also about telling stories in which you respect everybody whose stories you're being told. So those are two of my biggest influences as a filmmaker.
And for folks interested in finding out more about female filmmakers, they can check out agnesfilms.com.
Yes, agnesfilms.com. And it's a wonderful community of women filmmakers. We have interviews. We have with women filmmakers who are currently doing projects, with some women filmmakers that have been, you know, that were doing projects in the 1940s. We have reviews of women's work. We feature members and tell their stories. And we also just do everything we can to support the work of women filmmakers working today. The numbers are pretty bad for women. I don't know to what extent listeners are aware of this, but Martha Lawson has a report called The Celluloid Ceiling, where she looks at, since 1998, she's been keeping track of women filmmakers both in the 250 top grossing films and in film festivals. And the numbers are always, they're a little bit better at you know, film festivals and independent work, but the numbers are pretty low, and they have stayed low. That's the most discouraging thing about it, is that they've stayed low. There's very small fluctuation year per year, but it's not any better than it was in 1998, if you look at the big picture. So one of the things that I think we need to do is find ways to support the stories that women filmmakers tell, and those stories usually deal with women as well, so we can have better representation. And that's one of the things that Agnes Films does and that I try to do with my own work.
I'm speaking with filmmaker Alexandra Hidalgo. Her film Vanishing Borders will play at Madden Hills Branch Library on May 16th from 3 to 5 p.m. And Alex, let's talk about a little bit about this event and what's going to take place.
So one of the things that we've been doing with Vanishing Borders is that we wanted to get the film to the people that we made it for. And those people don't necessarily go to a lot of, you know, film festivals. So one of the things that we've been trying to do is to partner up with community organizations and work with those community organizations to bring people to a screening. And then at the end of the screening, we can discuss the making of the film, but also one of the things that I really hope happens and that has happened in past screenings is have the audience also share a little bit their own stories and how the stories resonate with the stories of the women that we're telling.
Let's go ahead and talk about challenges you faced. You mentioned certainly that New York City was a character all its own. What other challenges did you face with putting this film together?
Well, money is always an issue. I mean, filmmaking is a pretty expensive venture, but I was lucky enough that I have, you know, at Michigan State, I received a couple grants that either covered, you know, like actual expenses, or they covered labor. So that was, you know, very fortunate. And the other challenge, honestly, if you are an independent filmmaker and you really want to have your own vision sort of pervade the film, you want to do it yourself. So I didn't want to hand this over to an editor. I wanted to edit it myself. However, I started making this film in the middle of my PhD, and in between making this, like shooting the film in 2010 and actually completing it in September 2015, I had two little boys, and I finished my PhD, and I got a job at Michigan State, and I started my job at Michigan State. So even just finding the time to put into this work and to edit it and to create the kind of thing that I wanted to do, and doing so with very little money, those challenges were pretty formidable. But I'm really happy with the way that it turned out, and the reception at screenings has been astounding. People are really connecting with it, especially, not surprisingly, immigrant women and American women as well. So I'm glad that in spite of all the time and blood and tears and sweat, it actually became the thing I wanted it to be and connects with the populations we made it for.
And before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about what is at the heart and soul of this film and assess for us the work that the impact that these women are having on their communities.
So I think one of the things that we need to think about when we think about immigration is that the way that it's portrayed, we look at immigrants as these abstract masses that are coming here and they're taking our jobs or they're committing crimes or they're bringing drugs. And that's there's certainly one aspect of immigration that is that, and that might be, I think the media likes it because it, you know, people fear sells, right? And, you know, if you present immigrants as a threat, you're going to get a lot of people paying attention to what you're saying. However, there's a whole other aspect to immigration, and the vast majority of immigrants here are people who are working hard and who are bringing a lot into their communities, which is enriching the spaces where they live and work and interact with people. There's something very powerful about belonging to more than one culture, a certain ability to see things that maybe others can't see because they only belong to one space. And I think immigrants bring that. They bring a multiplicity of perspective that really helps people and the places around them have a new way of understanding things, of understanding themselves and the way they act, but also thinking about how others behave and the kind of things others do, which is particularly important in our globalized world. We're only getting more and more and more globalized. So I think it's important for all of us to embrace those who are different, and immigrants make that possible for us. And I wanted to highlight that in the film.
I've been speaking with Alexandra Hidalgo. She's a professor at Michigan State University and a filmmaker. The film Vanishing Borders will run at Madden Hills Branch Library May 16th from 3 to 5 p.m. Alex, where can we read more about this film?
Our website is vanishingbordersfilm.com, and there's all the information we need. You can watch the trailer and look at previous press that we've had. And also I wanted to say that during the screening, we'll be joined by Katrina Kittle, who is a local Dayton writer, and she was my high school teacher. And it'll be great to actually talk to Katrina about it too, because she was one of the key people that made my immigration possible and that really made me be able to join this country in a friendly and loving way. So I hope we'll also get to talk about that with her.
Great. Alex, thanks so much for speaking with us, and good luck with the film.
Thank you so much.